Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Hello, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network in your ear holes for the 353rd time. Amazing. We're getting way up there. Let's dedicate this one to Lambasaurus, one of our friends from the sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. I don't think we've given a episode out to Lambasaurus before, but Lambasaurus, he or she, they or them, won a buttload of money off of Gumby's Road to UFC picks from our last, three episodes last week. So congrats to Lambasaurus, and kudos to my co-host Gumby Vreeland for winning people buttloads and buttloads of money. And Gumby, he also let me know, Ryan H. Did quite well because we didn't have the odds for Road to UFC, and Gumby's usually pretty good at predicting what the odds will be. But a few of the fights, his predictions were off, and then when Ryan H. saw the lines drop, he took advantage of it, thinking, you know, certain people were bigger favorites than they should have been, that type of thing. So he made a buttload of money too. So maybe the episode should be dedicated to Gumby, but every episode is silently dedicated to him, whether I say it out loud or not. So we're going to recap quickly the Road to UFC events from this past weekend. And we're going to get you set for Cage Warriors 155. They are coming back to the U.S. to San Diego this coming Friday. So we're going to get you some picks for that, because we don't want to just do a recap episode. We want to actually give you picks. So let's bring in the man of the hour that I gave plenty of shine to. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Yeah. First of all, if you didn't watch Road to the UFC, you missed out.
I'm only halfway through. So when you recap it, I'm going to go like this. Num, 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 num. So I don't hear it.
So you, be annoying, you think, watch, you watch episodes 1 and 2. But not 3 and 4 yet.
No. I haven't finished episode 2 yet. It's been a busy weekend.
Oh my god! So you haven't
3 and 4 are good.
You haven't even touched 3 and 4.
Oh no, not yet. I'm going to.
There are some wild fights in 3 and 4, including maybe one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my whole life.
There was a crazy one. I just saw one in part 2 where the guy elbowed the one guy and the guy
swing
and then delay reaction face plant.
Yeah, that was a good one. Was that Naraji knocked out Hansul Kim?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Which is a good one. You know, so you've already seen Sangwon Kim win, which by the way was he was a +300 dog we had in episode 1. That was a big one. Mark Lamaco was a big cash for us. Kaiwen Lee was a big cash for us. So you've seen Sungguk Choi look good, real good for us. You've seen a bunch, but without giving anything away to my co-host here, who's in the process of catching up.
I'll just hum. Is that annoying?
Mildly. We did wind up only 12-8 at the end of the night. And with a couple of big dogs in there, that made us, I think as far as the odds, at least that I wrote down when they did eventually post, that put us down like $78 net. Which is not a great night, but I will tell you, in the very last fight of the fourth card, we had an underdog, Won Bin Ki, who I'm going to spoil this one. He was going to win. You don't even have to watch this fight, dude. Yeah. He was going to win. He had started to gain momentum against Bappalatte, and Bappalatte got knocked down with a punch. Did he land illegal shots to the back of the head? Maybe. Was it DQ bad? Definitely not. Was Bappalatte damn near unconscious because of the shots to the back of the head? No, he was unconscious because of the shots that dropped him. It was like a John Jones, Matt Hamill moment.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, if you swing that, he was a +115 underdog when I booked him. +115 underdog. So if you're down $78, that would have been a +120 or 130 on the night if you swing it the other way. So, like, yeah, we wound up down slightly, but also it was razor thin margin. So, super entertaining night, super entertaining fights. I can't wait for the semifinals. The semifinals are going to be so good. A lot of the people who I had pegged is going to be the champion of their division, still in it. Mark Klimako, still in it. Kamakubo, still in it. Shin Haraguchi, still in it. So, like, all the people who I was super excited to see, they're all right there, and I'm looking forward to watching it again.
There you go. Sounds good. Sounds like it. And was it fun in the Discord? I haven't even been on Discord this
weekend. It was popping. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, first of all, always shout out to the Discord, because the Discord rules. Yes. You guys literally, it's the best place to watch fights. Like, if you're just, like, nosing in and out of the Discord at all times. But I will say this. Like, I woke up at 6 a.m. for both fight cards, mostly because my kid woke me up anyway. I was thinking maybe I'll sleep in on the second one. But my kid woke me up for
both. The younger one?
Oh, no, the older one. The younger one sleeps. The 3-year-old sleeps till 9. The 4-year-old.
Really? He was the one that was a problem before, though.
No. They alternate. You know how this works.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Like,
right.
If one of them calms down, the other one gets crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
he
true.
Woke me up at like 5:15, 5:30, which is just the perfect amount of time to make a pot of coffee, sit down, and turn your UFC on. And I flipped open the Discord to be like, man, it's probably me and Jong in here and nobody else.
Jong will definitely be there some.
Yeah.
You set an alarm for 2 a.m. Pacific, he said. So.
But, dude, it wasn't even just me and Jong. Turnip was in there. Labambasaurus was in there. Like, Ryan H. caught up afterwards. He wasn't in there the whole time. There was somebody else in there. I feel bad not shouting every single person out. But, like, he's got the green icon. I even know what the icon looks like. Mac Attack was in there the whole time. It was just like people, Kunjiva was in there the whole time. Like it was popping. We were nonstop watching fights together at 6 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. And if any of you bastards are Western time or Mountain time, you're crazier than I am. It was a great time.
Yep. Jong said he was setting an alarm, and I said for 2 a.m. His time, and I'm like, you don't need an alarm. you don't sleep. And I bet he didn't need an alarm, because, you know, that's the way Jong rolls. But all right, we told you about the Discord. Get in there. You're losing money if you're not on the Discord, as the podcast friends say.
As a sleeper pick here, by the way, for those of you who are not in the Discord, there was a sports book that suddenly posted odds for Caged Titans, which is in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And I dropped a couple of damn near even money plays in there on Saturday, and both of them hit big. So you could have been in there winning money too.
See, we sound like touts. No, we're not touts. We're not selling our picks.
They're all free.
But we're giving you just winning. Come hang free out. Winning picks.
You get them for free and you can come hang out.
Exactly. Hang out and win. All right. I'm going to tell you about another thing we're big on, and then we're going to give you some picks. We're going to give you a boost, an edge, you could say, with our picks. And we also can tell you about Edge Boost. It was kind of forced, that transition, but anyhow, we're going to do it. We're going to roll with it anyhow. Have you signed up for Edge Boost yet? If not, you're missing out. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest and pay back the advance over 4 equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit funds in your account, and Edge Boost will match the deposit so you can use 2 times the funds on any legal sports betting site. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances, up to $2,500 you can add to your bankroll. go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/EDGE. Must be 21 years or older to use. Only valid in legal gambling states. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And as we make these picks, Gumby will designate one of them his edge boost double damn play of the day, right?
I got one circled for it.
Oh, good. All right. That is good enough. We'll tell you all about that. Actually, we'll save it to the very end, and then people have to listen to the very, very end. How's that sound?
I love it.
All right. Not everybody does listen to the very end, I'm sure. But all right. Cage Warriors 155 is the event, aka Cage Warriors. Actually, they're calling it Cage Warriors 155 San Diego. It's going down in San Diego, California. This is kind of their
home away from home.
Their North American setup seems to be in San Diego, which actually means California, which means I will be able to get the payouts, the actual official purses for these fighters. So if you want to see that, sign up to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. All right. It's on UFC Fight Pass. It's Friday. It's happening June the 2nd, 10 p.m. Eastern. It is going down at the Sikyuan Casino Resort. I'm probably butchering that. Do you know that name? I'm guessing it's probably a tribal land. Sikyuan, it could be in San Diego, California. Actually, I may not have, if this is like a tribal gaming commission, I may not have the fighter payouts. We'll have to wait and see. Anyhow, 13 fights. We're going to break down five last minute here, right before we recorded, one of them fell out. So we're going
to. I don't mean to do this to you. I was just told that fight is not actually off. The thing.
Oh my god! All right, here we go. Control Z to the rescue, Dan, or Control Z for you Americans.
The person who reported that fight was off was incorrect, and the issue with it is now back on. So that fight's still happening.
All right, Control Z save the day, Dan. It is still there.
I can't believe this has never happened to me, but that's the thing.
Perfect. Well, there you go. Breaking news on the breaking news. So, all right, we're going to start with, I better make sure of these things before they happen here. We're going to start with Roberto Hernandez, Moses Diaz. Does that sound right?
That's a fight that is still going. Yeah.
Yes. 3 5-minute rounds at the featherweight division All right. Tell you about Diaz first. We don't have odds for this, but like I told you off the top, that's actually turned out to be a good thing for someone. So Gumby, like I said, he's usually pretty good at predicting these odds, but if you odds drop on whatever sportsbook you use and they're way different than what Gumby said, then you know you may be able to find some value here. Obviously in the Discord we'll talk about that too when the odds actually do drop. So all right, Diaz 5-0 with 4 knockouts. This is his Cage Warriors debut. That's all I got. Sorry. Hernandez, hopefully Gumby can fill in some blanks there. Hernandez is 6-1, 1 knockout, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 4-0 in Cage Warriors. He's won 6 straight fights, so his debut is the only fight he lost. He's not lost a fight since September 2017, that aforementioned debut. And that's all I got for him as well. Gumby, fill in the blanks here. This is you have to color within the lines. I set up the lines for you. You
So I'm going to say in this fight, the odds will be pretty close. Because as you mentioned, Hernandez only lost his first fight. Diaz has never lost a fight at all. I'm going to say Diaz winds up -140 here to Hernandez, probably +125, +130. And I'm going to go with Moses Diaz here. And here's why. I think if you watch Hernandez, there are two big issues that I think he's going to run into with Moses Diaz. The first one being that I think he's a touch slower. And when it comes to striking, you know, like speed winds up being a big piece of it. Obviously knockout power does too, but they're only featherweights. So like speed can wind up being a huge facet to the game here. And if you watch Moses Diaz fight, especially the 1-2 he throws, like he lives behind a jab a little bit, but the 1-2 he throws behind that jab tends to be a lot quicker than most of the things that you see out of Hernandez. And then the other thing I will say that worries me about Hernandez and why I just can't get behind him, even if he winds up a dog here, is just that like he's one of those dudes who won't commit to like a prolonged exchange. Like if somebody faints on him heavily, he'll just keep backing up and he'll wind up with his back against the cage. He doesn't like to be first. He likes to be a counter guy. And, you know, not that there's anything wrong with being a counter guy, but if you don't have a lot of knockout power and you're a touch slower than the other guy, being a counter guy is just not going to work out. And so I think Diaz is going to live long. I think you're going to see him hit a bunch of leg kicks because those are safe things that don't risk a counter, or at least don't risk a huge counter. And he's just going to keep backing up Hernandez over and over and over again. So at like, you know, if as long as you can get him in the low 100s, low to mid 100s, I think he's just like a good straight play. If he starts to trend towards 200, I would say like maybe just avoid him altogether. Because like, you know, he's faster, he's quicker, he's got a lot of things, but like there's nothing really that sticks out about Moses Diaz that's like, man, sign this dude up for Contender Series. Give me more Moses Diaz. You know, like he's an undefeated prospect. That's exciting in its own right. But like nothing about him like screams like hot prospect or screams he should beat the hell out of Hernandez here. So I like him. I like him in the low 100s value. If he gets too much higher than that, I think we just pass.
All right, there we go. First pick of the day. It's a chalky one. Maybe it'll be better than Gumby said. Who knows? All right, what are we going to move to next? How about, oh, good. You gave me a couple of names to say here, didn't you? Jovadon Kahojaev?
Kahojaev.
Kahojaev. Jovadon Kahojaev is from, what country is he from? Do you know?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's Tajikistan.
Oh, look at you. You're correct. He's Tajikistan versus Sunny Imo.
What?
Is it Imoheap?
Imoteep. But I also want to just go back real quick to our first guy here.
Yes.
Kahojaev. While he is, I'm pretty sure he's a Tajik dude. I'm pretty sure he trains out of Vietnam.
Oh, interesting.
Because
that's exactly a hotbed for MMA.
No, but he's fought a bunch of times out of Vietnam, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. So this is 3 5-minute rounds at lightweight. I will tell you about Imhotep. First Ghost is the nickname. He's 3-1 with 2 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. This is Cage Warriors debut. He did fight in Bellator where he went 1-1. He's won his last fight, and he's an inch taller than Kahojaev. 3-1-1 with 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. This is Cage Warriors debut. He's won 2 straight fights, the last via submission, and he used to fight up at welterweight. That's all I got.
So I'm going to say that this fight opens with Kahojaev as a slight favorite, probably even smaller than we just saw Diaz as. Moses Diaz, I said, what, negative 140? I'm going to say you're going to see Kahojaev negative 125. I think this Cage Warriors card is actually going to have a lot of really close odds. So I'm going to say Imhotep plus 115. And I'm actually going to go Imhotep here. I think if you look at Kahojaev, very low level competition, maybe some of the lowest level of competition you've seen in a while. The last guy he fought was 0-0. And if you look on Tapology, it says Vietnam Regional. It doesn't even say the name of the fight card it was on. It just says Vietnam Regional. And that was 11 months ago, which is, you know, kind of somewhat alarming. And if you look at Imhotep, there's a lot of information you can get from Imhotep because he was a Bellator guy. He fights super long. He's got decent takedown defense. And really, if you go back and you look at what Kahojaev has, it's like a lot of his best things that happened to him on the Vietnam regional scene was like he had some like nice takedowns, but it was against guys who like look like they'd never seen a double leg takedown before or never seen like somebody run the pipe before. And he like muscles them. He like unnecessarily muscles them. And I think he's going to be at a strength disadvantage here. And in addition to that, like he also just like throws up his hands and gets super close to his opponent in a lot of these fights. And I don't think he's going to do that here against Imhotep. Imhotep has a ridiculous reach. So he's 6'1", which is already kind of a big lightweight, right? Like, that's not a small lightweight. 6'1" is a pretty big lightweight. But he has an 80.5-inch reach.
So that's like 6'8"?
Yeah,
six
that's like...
9 almost?
It's 6'8.5". And like, that's a crazy reach for a dude to have. And he does a good job of fighting long. His takedown defense is all like what it's supposed to be. He trains out of Black House. He's got good jiu-jitsu. So I actually think Imhotep is going to be a small dog here. And if he is, or anywhere near even money for that matter, jump on Imhotep here.
There you go. I never thought you would say the Vietnamese regional scene on this podcast, but you did. So there you go. Ding,
oh,
ding,
come
ding.
On. You didn't think we'd hit the, we, you don't think we'd hit Vietnam. Where else haven't we hit?
That's true. That is true. All right. Should I read another ad? What's the recording time at? Let's go behind the scenes here. What are we at?
I think we're at like, I don't know. We talked a whole bunch of shit beforehand.
Don't you have a timer on your screen?
I think we're at 18 minutes.
All right. I'm going to tell you about Shady Rays. I don't want to overlook them because it's still Shady May for a few more days. Shady Rays and Shady May. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also get a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Our fearless leader, Sean Stacking Money Green, was actually... He's up in the mountains with the Shady Rays. He posted a video, dipping his face
in some water.
Yep. There you go. Our fearless leader is taking outdoor adventures with this Shady Rays. So if you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. And remember, May is almost over, so make sure to take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Shady, S-H-A-D-Y, for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. Take that money out of Gumby's pocket. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Imhotep, we did that fight. All right, the fight that was canceled and then not canceled. Wilson and DeJesus is next, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. John DeJesus and Daniel. Daniel Wilson.
Damon.
Right.
Damon Wilson. John Wilson. DeJesus. 3 5-minute rounds in the featherweight division. DeJesus Platano is the nickname. Do you know what that means, Dan?
It's meant just like a Platano is in the banana. Yeah, it's like a banana looking.
Yeah, plantain. Yeah.
Plantain. Yeah, that's like a
banana looking thing.
It's a green banana.
It's true. All right. 15-11, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 4 times, so that rings a bell right there. We may have an issue there. A 1-1 in Cage Warriors. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last 5 fights. He went 2-2 in Bellator. For the first time, I can say he has multiple regional championships on his...
mantle?
Correct. Go to the store and get this shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's an inch taller than Wilson. Wilson is the nomad. He's 6-1 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself once. 5-1 in Cage Warriors. He did win his last fight. He used to fight down at bantamweight, and he's 3 years younger than DeJesus. And it's over to Gumby.
So first of all, I'm going to say Wilson comes in here as a large favorite, minus 250, let's say. I'm also going to pick him to win. I think he's sharper on the feet. I think he's crisper. I think he's got more pieces to his game. Particularly, like a lot of his finishes have come from just, like, very hard strikes on the feet or cuts or things like that. Like, he's good. He's sharp on the feet. I'm going to tell you, if you get him at anything higher than negative 200, don't bet him. And it seems silly because you're going to look at John DeJesus and you're going to see 15 and 11 on his pro career. And you're going to be like, well, that's a ridiculous record, right? He's fought 26 times. He's got 15 wins. Why would I not bet the farm opposite of him? And like, don't get me wrong. I like Damon Wilson, and his only loss is Tobias Harlia, who's going to fight on Contender Series coming up. That's his only loss, but listen to the people, you know, that John DeJesus has lost. First of all, Roberto Hernandez, who we just talked about on the show.
Right.
Kai Kamaka.
Yep, I know
Aaron, him. Aaron Pico.
Yep.
Bill Algeo. Pat Sabatini. Danny Chavez. Billy Quarantillo. Aaron Phillips. Like, dude, like, he has just fought an insane run of people. And even some of the people who you maybe not heard that he's fought, right? Like, even some of the people he's lost to that maybe you haven't heard of, like, you probably don't know the name Jason Soares. Jason Soares, 14-0 as in his pro career, was about to be on The Ultimate Fighter and didn't wind up making it on the show, and then was going to fight a couple of times in PFL, and he withdrew from those fights, and then he just retired. But he retired his career 14-0. And that's another one of John DeJesus' losses. So, like, this dude has just fought a ton of really good dudes. Ultimately, I don't think he's fast enough to beat somebody like Damon Wilson. I think he's not well-rounded enough to beat somebody like Damon. I think Damon Wilson could dig deep and decide just like, hey, if I'm losing the striking battle, the double leg's there. I think I can double leg John DeJesus, and it's no problem. I worry about John DeJesus' chin. Even if he wins a banks round early, the chance of him getting knocked out late, it's there. I like Wilson. I'm just going to say straight up, if you see him at anything over negative 200, pass. Get yourself, you know, a number under negative 100. Squeeze him in a parlay if you like that. But, like, don't let him be your parlay killer at negative 230.
But we all know this fight's going to end up getting canceled anyhow. So what's the point, right?
That's what happens to John DeJesus. I will give you that. Yeah.
All right. We're jumping way up to third from the top now. Franz Sormann versus James Settle. And it's a bantamweight fight, 3 5-minute rounds. So I'm going to tell you about Settle first. 3-3, 1 knockout, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 0-2 in Cage Warriors. He's lost over his last three fights. He's gone 0-2 with 1 no contest is what I'm trying to spit out. So hasn't won in 3 straight fights. All right, Sormann, the doctor is the nickname. 4-0, 1 knockout, 2 submissions, and this is his Cage Warriors debut, and that's all I have. These guys are kind of mystery men. Gumby, not a mystery to him, though. Go ahead.
No, I know both of these pretty well. So Sormann is a veteran of a promotion. We learned a little bit about this past week. And Jeff, what can you tell me about One Pride MMA Fight Night?
I just know the name. That's pretty much
Yeah. We learned a lot about One Pride MMA Fight Night out of Indonesia, which is a popular organization we talked about for the Road to the UFC cards. And that's where Franz Sormann has fought. He's fought all of his fights on that fight card. He's won most of them in the first round on that. He's fought mostly absolute shit competition in that. But he is 4-0, and he's going to be fighting James Settle, who is 3-3 and 1 no contest. And to be fair, in that 1 no contest, he also was knocked out in that 1 no contest. So he's really 3-4, but that guy failed the drug test. One of the fights was to Junior Cortez, who's going to be on the Contender Series this upcoming year. And is actually
it's almost here, everybody. It's almost here.
And he's already been on the Contender Series once. He also lost to Damon Wilson, who we just mentioned, on the last fight card. So I think because of the record wise alone, 3-4 or 3-3 with a no contest, I think you're going to see a large favorite here for Franz Sormann. I think Sormann's going to come in here like negative 300, maybe even higher, negative 330. And you're going to be able to get somebody like Settle at plus 280. And this is my big swing. I like James Settle here. If you're going to go with a big dog on Cage Warriors, you might as well go James Settle. Because here's the thing. Sorman is a dude who goes with very high-risk movements. If you watch him, lots of flying knees, lots of flying kicks. You'll see him do, like, if he gets in a clinch and he wants a takedown, he'll do a lat drop. Which, not that lat drops never work. In fact, they've sometimes worked for him. But, like, a lat drop is a high-risk move against somebody who can grapple. And the thing is Settle, he might not be brilliant anywhere. Obviously, he's 3-3, maybe 3-4. He shouldn't be brilliant anywhere. But he's got very good basic striking. Like, he knows how to live behind his jab. He knows how to throw a basic 1-2. He knows how to throw, like, a hook to the body if he absolutely needs it. He does the little things right on the feet. And he's got fucking god-awful takedown defense. Maybe some of the worst takedown defense you've ever seen. But he's got really good grappling off of his back. He uses, like, a high guard. He uses a rubber guard. He's got a nice triangle. He does a whole bunch of things right. And so against a guy who's got really risky movements, like Sorman, it's like if Sorman uses really risky movements and gives up his back one time, like, Settle is not a guy who winds up on top very often. But if he winds up on top, I guarantee this dude is better at jiu-jitsu than anybody you're looking to bet at plus 280. So I'm going to take the guy with, like, way higher competition level, a much worse record, and, like, very good jiu-jitsu skills here. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. So give me James Settle.
You're really going to settle on Settle?
I'm just sometimes you got to settle.
Okay. Apparently you have to settle. So is there a number that you wouldn't bet him at? Obviously, if he's a favorite, you're not going to bet him, but is there a range?
I'm going to tell you, I think if he got down to plus 175, I'd be like, all right, I like him. But I'm not going to bet him anymore at plus 175.
No settling.
Because, like I said, he's got very bad takedown defense. Like, I put it this way, Jeff would take him down.
Wow. Well, I'm like twice his size, but okay. Twice his age, probably, too. But,
only twice?
No, a little less than twice. I'm losing
weight. Yeah, 270.
100 pounds on him, at least. No, I've never been 270, no.
I've never been 270. Yes. I've never been 270. I've never been 100 pounds more than him, but it's close. No. In order to host this podcast, you have to weigh 200 pounds or more, by the way, just so you
know. Oh, yeah, at least. Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I've only been under that when I was cutting weight. But, plus 175, I'd be like, okay, he's cool, but, like, all of his deficiencies worry me enough. But, like, I don't know, anything over plus 175, and I think he's going to be way over that. Because you see, like, on a regional card, you see 3-3 versus 4-0. Yes. You're never going to see that 3-3 guy at less than plus 200. Even if his career is, like, he's fought the hardest of the hard guys, you're never going to see him at plus 200 or less. So, yeah, like, I think you're going to see Settle at a very nice number here.
All right, everyone settle in on Settle. You don't like this co-main event, right? We're skipping it.
I don't know that Tapology has these right.
Yeah, it's true. Also, yeah.
And if they do, you're right. Like, Elijah, just so you guys know, Elijah Harris, whose nickname is Mr. Fucking Samoa, the fucking I added myself, he's going to kill the guy he's fighting. He's fighting Chris Lewis. It's not a good fight. He's got really good jiu-jitsu, just so people who are, like, looking to get in on this know. Mr. Samoa's got good jiu-jitsu. He trains with Manolo Hernandez and Richie Martinez, the Boogeyman Martinez at 10th Planet San Diego. And that's the same place where we saw, what was the chick on the Ultimate Fighter's name, who I can't stand, who got her shit beat by Victoria Hardy.
Brogan Walker Sanchez?
No, the one who lost to Brogan Walker. Juliana Miller. Juliana Miller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he trains out of the same gym as Juliana Miller. He's got good
jiu-jitsu. I didn't know you hated her too.
Oh, I don't like it. He's got good jiu-jitsu like Juliana Miller, only he's he's 265 pounds.
Yeah, he's Mr. Samoa.
And he's fighting a dude who's 2-4 and took the fight on short notice. So, yeah, he'll handle business there. We're going to skip that one, and we're going to get to
it. No, we didn't skip it. We just did it.
It's not an official.
Pretty much.
Not an official pick. That being said, well, did you see Elijah Harris anywhere near negative one? If he's under negative 250, throw him in a parlay.
There you go. Throw him in a parlay. All right, main event is 3 5-minute rounds at lightweight. James Lanter versus Kyle Driscoll. I want to call him Old Driscoll, but it's just Driscoll. All right. Driscoll, 13-4, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He's 1-1 in Cage Warriors. He's gone 8-1 over his last 9 fights. However, he did lose his last fight via TKO. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Didn't get a contract, though. Used to fight at featherweight and was a regional champion. Lynch, the MMA PA, 6-3. Do you know anything about that nickname before you move on? Or the MMA PAW. Is it PAW?
Maybe the MMA pod.
Okay, you don't know anything about it. Okay.
I don't know anything about it.
He could be the father of MMA, or who knows, or he could be from Pennsylvania. But the MMA PA or PA, Lynch is 6-3, 1 knockout, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once as well. 4-2 in Cage Warriors. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4, including winning his last fight. He used to fight at welterweight and made his debut in 2013. Over to you.
So if I'm looking at this one. And odds-wise, I think Driscoll is actually going to be a pretty large favorite. I'm going to say negative 260 to Lynch, who will be like, you know, plus 230 if that's the return on it. I'm going to pick Driscoll. I'm going to say I don't like that number if that's what it winds up being. Like, I think it's going to be in the high 200s. And
what do you like?
I probably high 100s. Yeah. Like, okay. If he's in a high 100s, I'll bet him straight. He'd have to be like barely over 200 for me to throw him in a parlay. But like, other than that, I'm probably just passing. Cause like, look, he lost his last fight by knockout, but he lost his last fight to George Hardwick, which if you don't know regional MMA, you're not like a regional MMA guy. George Hardwick is a dude. He's a guy that we should all pay attention to. And he's especially a guy who's really good at shots to the body, which is what he finished Kyle Driscoll with. He's won 3 straight fights with punches to the body. I heard a rumor recently that George Hardwick is going to be on Contender Series. It's not confirmed yet, but George Hardwick, probably a Contender Series guy, probably going to win easy on the Contender Series, probably going to be one of our Discord's guys. But like, Driscoll's only loss in his last, you know, like 8 or 9 fights is to that guy. He won on Contender Series, as you mentioned. He won against the guy who I love, a Northeast guy, a dude who I care a lot about, Dennis Sweetbread Paiva. Sweetbread is a sick nickname, by the way.
That's a good one.
But the thing that sets Driscoll apart from James is just like a really good ability to counter. Like, both of them quick enough on their feet. Both of them throw good leg kicks. Both of them like kind of grapple when their striking isn't working and they're good enough at doing that. And they stuff takedowns at roughly the same rate. But one of them, when you kick them in the leg, they throw a left over the top and it hurts them. One of them, if you throw a jab and you don't land and you overextend yourself, they hurt you and sting you with a straight. And the other one, when you miss on everything, just backs away and is happy to be there. And Driscoll is the one who hurts you. Lynch is the one who doesn't hurt you. And I think that's the difference maker here. I'll take the guy who's punishing you every single time versus the guy who's just like happy to be there, which is what I kind of feel like James Lynch is. Not to be confused with the commentator / interviewer, James Lynch.
Yep, Canadian.
James Lynch, Canadian?
I think so.
Oh,
I think he's from out west, yeah.
Damn, man. All of the MMA writers are Canadian.
You know who's not Canadian anymore? Newsflash. Loopy.
Loopy. Loopy Godinez is going she's going to Mexico.
Lobo Gym. Yeah, Lobo Gym.
I almost sent you that article to be like, she's not going to be anymore, bro. But yeah,
she's dead to us now.
Sorry, buddy. She can still be Canadian in her heart. Okay. But that being said, yeah, like I like Driscoll here. I don't like him if he's at a high 200 number, but I will say Driscoll, my official pick.
All right. Let's go through all these official picks of Mr. Gumby's. Got Driscoll, probably as a pretty sizable favorite. Settle, hopefully, as a very sizable dog. Wilson as a sizable favorite. Imhotep, hopefully, as a little bit of a dog. And to kick things off, Diaz as a small favorite, right?
That sounds right to me. All right, and our edge boost double down play of the day. I'm giving that to you right now. We're going to go with James Settle. I mentioned before I don't like Fran Sorman because of his one Pride MMA fight night background. But I also like James Settle's jiu-jitsu. I like a guy who's got a nice rubber guard. So our double down, if you can get him at plus money, get in on it, especially a big number. James Settle, double down. Double down edge boost MMA play of the night.
Hear that, everyone? Gumby loves a guy with a strong rubber guard, right? Anything else about the Vietnamese regional scene we need to know before we bid farewell?
One MMA Pride fight night might be the worst. I'm going to rank it below Samurai Fight Night. Because Samurai Fight Night, by the way, I think I've said it already on this show.
Yep.
Samurai Fight Night has got a guy on Contender Series this year. Kevin Viegos, get excited. He's on there.
Yep. There you go. We'll have to wait for, I can't remember their name anymore, One Pride Fight Night MMA. Is that right?
One Pride right? MMA Fight Night.
Right. All right. Enough. Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about them in future episodes, I'm sure, because they'll be around forever. All right. We told you about the Discord. Get in there, have some fun with us. Twitter, if that's your scene, SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that account for us. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. Told you about my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Sign up there. You can get a free subscription, or you can unlock all of my articles for a year for only $24. What a steal. And then you'll get emails, MMA writing and stats and stuff from me in your inbox every day, pretty much. And you can enter for free a weekly pick'em contest for the UFC. So that posts every Monday that there is a UFC, or three times a month. I won't lie, it's not every UFC, but pretty much everyone. We haven't talked about Top Turtle MMA, but Gumby has that podcast where he interviews interesting MMA people. So I'm sure he has some more interesting people this week. Are you willing to announce, or is it a
season? Yeah. This week, we got him in the can already. So this week I'm going to be talking to Damon Blackshear for the very first time I've ever interviewed him. He's going to be chatting with me, and he's fighting this upcoming Saturday, and then fighting on the pay-per-view in Canada on June 10th is Ayman Zahabi, who I got to
back.
Yeah, he's back, and actually he talks a little bit about why he's been gone for so long. So
he really doesn't fight much, though, so it's really not surprising.
He doesn't, but he actually talks about why that is, and it's not his
fault.
Yeah,
don't give it away.
So check out Top Turtle MMA, and I'm excited to talk to him. I love Ayman Zahabi.
Yep, very, very nice Canadian lad. All right, and then obviously all of our writings, everyone's writings and podcasts and giveaways and discounts and links to books and all that fun stuff is at sportsgummypodcast.com. So we'll be back in your ears tomorrow. We're going to break down KSW, one of the biggest promotions in Europe. They have a real big event. This is their shit, man. I was going to say, do they always have a big one this time of year?
They've had two shows ever that they've called KSW Coliseum. The first one broke like a European attendance record. And the second one is maybe more star-studded. Like, this is this fight card is incredible, dude. I was looking through it, and I had a tough time whittling it down to five.
Yeah, bunch of title fights that aren't even at the top of the card. So tells you all you need to know about this. We'll be breaking that down, giving you picks. We have lines for that, for these fights as well. They've been dropped already. So that will be tomorrow. So we'll give you something to come back for. Until then, I will remain the nomad, Jeff Fox. My co-host, Platano, Gumby Vreeland, he better come back tomorrow because he knows what all these fighters are going to break down. And we will talk to you then. Bye-bye.